Behold what manner of love. Behold it. Look at it. Take a look at it. View it. We see God's love. We experience God's love. We feel God's love. God is love. Thank God for His loving arms of grace and mercy that He wraps around us and cares for us so graciously. Think of, as the psalmist said, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The goodness and the mercy of the Lord. If you experience the goodness and the mercy of the Lord, that's evidence that you're one of His. As many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You know, if you're led by the Spirit of God, you're led in the way of righteousness. Yeah. Think about that. You're led in the way of righteousness. You're led in the way of what thus saith the Word of God. And this is how the Apostle Paul knew and understood of the Thessalonians there in 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. And I'm just going to briefly give this. I've used it before. But he said, we give thanks to God always for you all, making mention of you in our prayers, remembering without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love and patience of hope in our Lord Jesus Christ in the sight of God and our Father. Then notice the words in verse 4. Knowing, comma, brethren beloved, comma, your election of God. Knowing, brethren beloved, your election of God. Yeah. Now, the Apostle Paul, I believe, is saying that he knew. And how did he know? The brethren, that they were in the beloved, that they were in Christ Jesus. How did they know that they were embraced in the election? How did he know that they were embraced in the election of God? He saw the fruit. He saw the evidence. And that's what he was talking about back up here when he's talking about their work of faith and their labor of love. He saw their work of faith. He saw their labor of love. He saw the manifestation of the fruit of the Spirit, the nine manifold fruit of the Spirit. The Apostle Paul saw this. And he also, further, he saw how that the gospel came unto them. How that they received the gospel. How that they embraced the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. For our gospel came not into you in word only, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost and in much assurance. As ye know what manner of men we were among you. There was the assurance in the gospel, and it was confirmed in their hearts that they embraced the election of God for them in a personal way. And the Apostle Paul saw the fruits and the labors of that they were children of God. Now I want to turn this morning to the Old Testament. I'm going to turn to the book of Esther. God is the ruler of His providence. The Godhead, the Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. The Lord Jesus Christ, the man, Christ Jesus, who is seated at the right hand of God, who has received the kingdom from His Heavenly Father. And He is King of Kings and Lord of Lords. He has received this kingdom. And He is seated on the right hand of God. And as He is seated on the right hand of God, He is ruling and reigning. And He is ruling and reigning, for He is governor over all of His creation. He is the governor over all of His creation. This is His providence. And God works in His providential governing power, through His power, through his divine oversight, by his divine rule, God works here in the affairs here upon this earth. God did not create everything and then just take a hands-off position and step back and say, okay, now, here it is, and it just runs in and of and by its own self. That's not what we read through the Scripture. We don't read that in the Scriptures. We read and we understand that God, he is in control, in suffering, and in overruling, and in managing, and in oversight of his providential rule and power and authority. So we can see great lessons from the book of Esther. And there are several main characters through the book of Esther. Esther is a name that Mordecai gave unto a young Jewish maiden, whereby to disguise her and where it wouldn't be revealed that she was a Jewish girl, a Jewish maiden. And so he gave her that she'd be known by this name of Esther. Mordecai was a very close kinsman unto her. He had adopted her, and now he is as her adopted father because both of her parents had died. And we see what great things that the Lord does in preserving and in taking care of the Jewish people during this time that they are in captivity, when they have been taken in the first captivity, the second captivity, and so forth, the Babylonians. But now the time has come down to the Medes and the Persians. And it's under the Persians, it's under this king, Ahasuerus, the setting is here, and that we see from the Scriptures and the Lord giving us this historical accounting of God's providential deliverance and God's providential power and watch care over his people, the Jews, while they are in this great captivity. Mordecai is of the house of Joseph through Benjamin. He has some ancestors that goes back and encompasses most likely relationship to the house of Saul. But nevertheless, Mordecai, he is a man that God blesses, that God puts in his heart, that God uses in a great providential way to save God's people alive, to spare them from a wicked man, to spare them from a man by the name of Haman, that is jealous, that is prideful, that is out to destroy the Jews during this specific period of time. Mordecai is a man that fears God. He's a man that is in great service unto God, and that God uses here at this particular time. Does God use individuals? Does God use his people? Certainly God does. Certainly God uses his people. God blesses his people. God puts into the heart of his people to serve him. And God impresses upon his people in certain ways and in leadership and direction, as we've already heard, as many that are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. And I believe that God is leading and directing and blessing Mordecai and putting Mordecai in places and in situations where that he can be a great blessing to the Jewish people. He is certainly a great blessing unto Esther. We have at the very beginning of this Ahasuerus, who is in all that I can understand from the Scriptures, most likely is also known as Artaxerxes, as far as his name in relation to being a king among the Persians. Xerxes was a title, was a name that was given to the kings of Persia. We understand this from history. But he is called Artaxerxes. Most likely it's the same king that's found in the book of Nehemiah. It's the same one that's here in the book of Esther. But Ahasuerus is the identifying name as far as among the Jews. You see this same man in having a heart toward the Jews, even in the book of Nehemiah. You know, God takes and God works in the saving of his people in a temporal, in a delivering way. When you began here in the book of Esther, you find how that the time had come. In those days, in verse 2, it tells about that Ahasuerus sat on the throne of his kingdom, which was in Shushan, the palace. And it is the same Shushan, the palace, that is there when Nehemiah is serving, and he is the king's cupbearer. And he comes before the king and gets leave to go back for the rebuilding of the walls and the gates of the city of Jerusalem. And it appears that he has a great favor before the king there in a ready way and so forth. That God prepares the way for him. But now as Ahasuerus is here upon the throne, he is a Persian king. After the Babylonians, you have the kingdom of the Medes and the Persians. It was a divided kingdom. It was a shared kingdom between them. And we understand about his queen, who was Vashti. And how that the king threw a large banquet, and he invited many of his nobles and folks to come to this banquet. In his time past, he sent for the queen to come before him, and in such a way to display and to show off her beauty and her fairness and so forth. But Queen Vashti, she refused to do so. And of course, it bothered and troubled Ahasuerus. It troubled him. Many of the folks that were there, the men said, our women folk, they're going to hear this and they're going to know this. And they're going to, it's going to cause trouble in the family and so forth. And so he put her away from being queen. He took that away from her and put her away. And after days, then it was determined that there should be somewhat of a contest, if you please. And so it was. And in this is where Mordecai brings Esther and brings her unto the keeper of the women and delivers her there to make the preparations to be brought before the king. But you see, the Lord is in all of these arrangements for the preserving of his people, because it's going to come down to it. And as you read, you Bible readers know, and as you read in the book of Esther, how that this wicked man, he hated Mordecai because Mordecai would not bow before him. Mordecai would not submit unto Haman. Haman was a great man in the kingdom under far as under Ahasuerus. He had been elevated and lifted up to a great position. But Mordecai, when they came through, he would not bow before Haman. He would not give the reverence and so forth unto him. And Haman, he hated this. He didn't like it one a little bit. He didn't like it in the least. He didn't care for it at all because he was a proud man, a powerful man that was seeking fame and popularity for himself. But Haman wasn't going to bow before him. But you know, before this had taken place, Haman, he had got the news and overheard some of the chamberlains, the close bodyguards of King Ahasuerus, and plotting against him to take his life. And so it was that that it was alerted and foretold concerning this to the king. And so then when as God is using this, and as the time comes up, Ahasuerus, he can't sleep one night. And so the chronicles are brought before him. And there he reads in it where that Mordecai had actually saved. It had been recorded at where Mordecai had saved his life. And of course the king asked, had anything of a great honor been done for this man? You know, that had been in the saving of his life. And they reported to him, no, that nothing had been done. And so Haman was coming into the court, and the king called for him, and the king had Haman to take the king's horse and the king's robe and so forth, and to take and to put Mordecai upon it, and to lead him through the streets of the city to show honor unto Mordecai that had saved King Ahasuerus' life. This is all of the divine working of the Lord. But the time came Haman had so schemed a plan up in destroying the Jews. And it was going to be that there would be a great slaughter of the Jews. And so we see from the scriptures there in chapter 4 and going into chapter 5, some words here that I wanted to get and get set forth before you there in chapter 4 and verse 14. For thou altogether holdest thou peace at this time. This is what Mordecai is saying unto Esther. He's calling upon Esther to speak to the king. But you see, Esther couldn't just go in unto the king unless the king held forth the golden scepter unto her. Even her life could be taken. Her life could be destroyed. But you see, God is working in his greatness and in his providential care. As we look on into this, you will see how this will connect into our lessons that we have been upon for the past several Sundays, and what brought me to this far as in the book of Esther, in sitting at the king's table and putting on our beautiful garments and putting on the garments that identify us as a son of God, as a child of God, as a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And of course there in Ephesians, as the apostle by inspiration of God taught, that we should put off the old man, put on the new man, and there are things that we should put away, as we talked about last Sunday. But you're going to see, as the Lord blesses and as the Lord directs Esther, the leadership of the Spirit of God directing and influencing and prompting and giving the influence that is needed. Of course, Esther is neglectful to the extent of not wanting to do this, but she comes to that point, and Mordecai tells her that if you hold your peace at this time, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place. Now notice that. In other words, Mordecai is telling her God's going to deliver his people. How can Mordecai, with such firmness, with such solidness, how can he make such statement. It undoubtedly is because the Lord has put this in his heart. God has assured him. He feels assurance from the Lord that the Lord is going to be with him, that the Lord is going to take care of this matter, that the Jews are not going to be wiped out, that the Jews are not going to be destroyed here in the Persian kingdom at this particular time. Notice the words that he says, then shall their enlargement and deliverance arise to the Jews from another place, but thou and thy father's house shall be destroyed. This is what he tells Esther. If you don't do this, if you don't walk in a way of obedience, if you don't do what you should do at this particular time, the Lord's going to provide. The Lord will take care of the situation. Deliverance is going to come to the Jews, but you and your father's house, you will be destroyed. Now, that is serious business, because if you understand this, and also that Mordecai is a very close relative there unto Esther, and now he is her adoptive father. He is her legal guardian. He is just as surely and just as much so her father, and she is under him. And so as Mordecai says this, this is certainly serious. And then notice what he says to her. And who knoweth whether thou art come to the kingdom for such a time as this? For this time God has blessed, and you're here at this appointed time. You're here at this time to bring about this deliverance, to speak to the king. Then Esther bade them to return, because Mordecai had sent this message unto her. And so she told them to go back and to give Mordecai this answer. Go gather together all the Jews that are present in Shushan, and fast ye for me. Fast, fast. And neither eat nor drink 3 days. Notice that. Eat nor drink 3 days, night or day. I also and my maidens will fast likewise, and so will I go in unto the king, which is not according to the law. And if I perish, I perish. Notice now how this has struck home at Esther's heart. I believe the Lord is dealing with her and working with her in her seed of affection, within her spirit. She is one of the Lord's. The Lord has blessed her to come to this place at this time. And here now God is going to use her in a great and wonderful way unto his honor and glory in the very saving of his people. And she is resigned, amen, to do what she knows and feels now that is encumbered upon her and that she must do. If I perish, I perish. If I perish, I perish. You know, it sounds to me kind of like in the sense, you know, live or die, sink or swim. You know, I'm in the Lord's hand. Live or die, sink or swim. I'm in the Lord's hand. If I perish, I perish. If he don't hold out the scepter, if I lose my life, I'm going to give this that Mordecai has said unto me, Esther, I'm going to do. But notice, she wasn't going into it lightly. She was going into it reverently. She was going into it with full respect and acknowledgement and realizing that she needed the Lord's help. For she was going to pray. And she said, get other folks to pray and get other folks to fast and get other folks to call upon the Lord. Get other folks to afflict in themselves. We're going to call on the Lord after this time period, after 3 days of night and day. Then I'm going to go into the king after we've prayed, after we've fasted, after we've sought the Lord, after we've put our hands in his hand in a timely sense, acknowledging him, trusting in him. So then the last verse of chapter 4 tells us that Mordecai went his way and did all that Esther had commanded him. Mordecai sent to Esther. The news was told her. She sent the word back and concerning about the 3 days and of fasting and in praying and seeking the face of the Lord. And so he went and he commanded the Jews, talked to the Jews about it, because he said, the scripture says, did according to all that Esther had commanded him. Now notice as we go into chapter 5, it says, now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel. I want you to notice that. Esther put on her royal apparel. She was going to go in before the king. She was going to make a petition. It would be life or death for her people. And I want to tell you, she dressed up. Yes, she did. She dressed up. She put on her royal apparel and she stood in the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house. And the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house, over against the gate of the house. So as Esther comes from one building and is coming through the court way to come into another building to where the king was, and he was upon the throne, and she is in her royal apparel. Notice now, and it was so when the king saw Esther. When the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Oh, God's working here. God's giving wisdom and understanding for them how to do. Mordecai sent the word to Esther. Esther was afraid to start with, but God is putting it in her heart. God is directing her. God is impressing her. And she yields unto that she should do in a way of obedience. That she should be obedient unto what Mordecai is asking. And then now she puts on her royal apparel and she approaches before the king, and the king receives her. The king smiles upon her, in other words, and she touched the top of the scepter. This meant that she was going to live. This meant that she was going to be able to make her petition known unto Ahasuerus. That she was going to be able to tell the king and ask him and make her petition known unto him. Oh, brothers and sisters, as we come up this morning, not so much. There is that of our outward apparel. But the point is of our clothing, of our apparel of the inward, of our putting on of the Lord in a way of obedience unto him, and coming to approach unto the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. When he sees his children approaching unto him in a way of obedience, in a way of desiring, in a way of petition, as he holds out the scepter unto us, as Jesus says, come unto me all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Thank God this morning he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He was tempted in all points like as we, yet without sin. Thank God we have a friend. This morning we sung, what a friend we have in Jesus. Thank God we do have a friend in Jesus. We do have a King of Kings and a Lord of Lords. And of course, to make the long narrative shorter, for the sake of time, Haman
is killed or hung upon the same gallows that he had prepared for Mordecai. And eventually, when the Jews are saved, 10 of Haman's sons are hanged upon the gallows also. There is peace, there is rest, and the king gives the command that the Jews have a right to defend themselves, because he couldn't change the law that Haman had tricked him into. It was according to the law of the Medes and the Persians. But he gave forth the edict that the Jews had the right to defend themselves. And even in Shushan the palace, there were some 500 that the Jews killed there on that very certain day. And all through the kingdom, Haraz, as he had said unto Esther and Mordecai, when it came about that the Jews defended themselves and killed their enemies, that the king said, they've killed 500 here in the palace. What have they done out in the realm of the kingdom? But you see, the Lord was with them. The Lord directed them. And there was a great deliverance for the Jews because of the providential working of God. Because there was these individuals that were there. And no doubt he had come to the kingdom for such a time as this. Oh God, give us of his spirit to direct us and to lead us and to guide us in the way of righteousness and in the way of the paths of truth for his namesake. That we would be in the smile and in the favor of God in a temporal, providential way and in service to our great God, our great King, our blessed Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I trust this morning that these things that I've brought unto you here in the book of Esther, that it would be in a way, if you haven't looked at this in a long time, that you would read it again, read through this book of Esther and read this wonderful account. I know many of you have read it over and over and over, but I tell you, it seems like every time that I read it, that there's things that just jump out and leap out to me like I haven't really ever noticed before. But you can certainly see the divine working of God. Aren't we thankful this morning that God works in our lives? Aren't we thankful that God, amen, is upon his throne and that he is in control and that God, amen, directs our path, that God leads us by his word if we will submit to the unerring word of God and direction of God and follow after it, we'll have deliverances that only the Lord can give, that only the Lord can bring about. God bless you this morning, is my prayer. We'll select a song. We'll stand together.